I think it's just my phone. Can you guys hear me now? Hello?
I need to turn your phone on. Hold on 1 second. Can y'all hear me better now? Hello?
A little bit.
On the other call for me?
What was that, Pastor?
Hello?
Yes, Pastor, can you hear me?
I think it's my phone.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes,
can
ma'am?
You go back on the call and make sure everybody has a number because somebody's on the phone with you and Jimmy
on this call? Yes, ma'am.
You have reached the voicemail box of 7708657764. At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options. At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options. At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options. At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Cancel whatever I did, and I can't. I think I did. Okay, I think I canceled that mess up I just did. Can y'all hear me now? Hello?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
Okay. Wow, this is crazy here. Okay. Woo. Jesus kingdom. Okay. We're going to give a couple of seconds to see if anybody else can get in. Who else is on the call right now?
Me.
Jimmy.
Okay. So... I hear Jimmy has a little bit feedback. Anybody else has feedback on their phone? Isis, let me hear you.
Ma'am.
Okay.
I hear a little.
You sound clear. Okay. Mother Edna? Did I hear Mother Edna on the phone?
I don't know. Let me tell them to call it back for again.
Yeah, I'm hearing everything is real choppy. It's breaking up in the bed.
You sound choppy. Isis sounded clear.
Yeah. Okay.
This is the craziest thing in the world.
It is.
And then I hear like this ringing in the back. I'm going to drop everybody and let y'all call back in.
Okay, call back in?
Yeah, call back in. Yes, ma'am.
It's real bad. Can you use freeconferencecall.com?
That's the first number was free conference call. That was the first one.
It's really bad.
The first one was...
From overseas.
Yeah, the first one was free conference call. Now I'm on the blog talk. So when I think it's something that's happening in the airwaves. Yeah. So we got to see. There's nothing else I can do. So we're going to see what it looks like. Now they're calling back in. Now let me see what this is like, okay? We're going to try this because if it's on two different platforms, then it's something in the airwaves.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, Isis?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Jimmy?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Okay, it sounds, are you home somewhere? Are you somewhere where you may need to move over a little bit? Might be your
Me?
Location.
Okay, I can.
It
I
may
can.
Be your location.
Is this better? Yes.
It's a little bit better, but it's still choppy.
I can hear you, Pastor. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you're just a little bit choppy, so I think it may be the area where you are. What about you, Isis? Let me hear you say something.
Yes, ma'am. Is this good?
It is. It's still a little choppy. Am I choppy to you guys, too?
Yes, ma'am.
You are a little bit, but you sound better than you did before.
Yeah. I think it's in the airway because when I was on the pre-conference call, the first one, they were saying there's something going on in the whole north, something, North Teller something. It had a message that something was going on with the reception up there. So I think it's something in the airway.
Okay.
So I don't know if others are logging on, listening via internet or not. If you are listening via internet, I need you to text me and at least let me know that you're on listening. Those of you that can access it online, if you're listening to us online, can you send me a text message or respond inside the group me that you're on the call?
Is this the same thing that we was using when we were on the fast, the same website?
Yeah. There are some people who are
okay.
I need some people to interact, though. I need someone to be able to answer questions. I don't want to do a dialogue. Okay. Okay, I think some people are logging in. Okay, when you get logged on, let me know. I see someone that's logged on.
Okay, this is Kim. Can you hear me?
That's Kim who's logged on? Okay, you logged online, right?
Yes,
Kim?
Ma'am.
Okay, so if you log in online.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay, great. And so go ahead.
I'm using Hangouts online. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You are a little bit choppy.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that
sounds a little like staticky.
Yeah, it's the airwaves right now. They were also talking about that it's going to be that so much is happening because people can't get together for church and for meetings and a lot of things. So people are, everything is going to the internet. And so they've been saying that we may possibly hit a day during this time where the internet might actually break.
Wow.
They say we may literally break the internet because so many people are, everything is being driven this way. Meetings,
wow.
Church, Bible study, business, everything is going straight to the internet.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? Aren't we really, isn't God
that
showing himself?
Something.
Yes, God is showing himself. if he's never shown
wow.
I said, what? The internet is possibly going to break. So, so we're going to go ahead and try to take a few minutes of Bible study. Praise the Lord. I felt like I knew there was something that was there, but we're going to have to cut back on it. My apologies for that. But see, the enemy is always trying to steal, kill, and destroy, because there's a lot of information that truly needs to be shared, especially in this time, and everybody needs to be on the call.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to be
Amen.
On the call so that they can be empowered, so they'll know what to share. And then so that they can be encouraged.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like nobody else has responded, so I know they didn't log online because they're not responding to the message. Kim, are you able to use your phone while you're on here and send some text messages for them to log online?
You could have them log online.
Can you send a text message? Are you able to send a text message and still stay on the call?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
send a text message to the other members and ask them to line on, but you're going to have to send it to their numbers individually. So I suggest that you would possibly type it one time, then just copy and paste and send it to each person. That's how I do to help me send things quickly.
Okay.
Okay, because you got to send it individually.
Okay.
Okay. And so right now, though, I'm going to go ahead and proceed with those of us that are on the line. So I was saying that there were how many things that they asked Jesus about? There were a total of how many things? On verse 3? How many things did the disciples ask Jesus about?
Was it four? Because it was about the war, sickness.
Go look at verse 3, 24 in chapter 3. So how many? We're looking at Matthew 24, verse 3.
When shall these things be?
How many? How many things did he ask? How many things did the disciples ask about?
Who?
Yeah, when and what?
How many things? Read Matthew 24 and 3. How many things did they ask? What were the three things they asked? They asked three. What shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So they asked him three things. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So they asked Jesus three particular things. And what's important is to know how Jesus answered. They asked this, but Jesus answered and said unto them what? Verse 4. Anybody
just
read that?
Take heed. It says,
uh-huh.
Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you.
So they ask questions about the end of time. They're asking regarding his return. And Jesus' first response to them was not the answer to the actual date, but he pointed to something. What did he point to? What did he want them to focus on?
Not being deceived.
Not being deceived. So how did he show them what's going to happen to bring deception? What did verse 5 say?
For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
Yes. So Jesus is helping them understand something, some of the things that's going to happen as a result of you knowing that there is a day that no man knows of my return. There are going to be those who are going to try to take advantage of the moment. They're going to try to take advantage by deceiving you. And some of the things that they're going to be able to feed on are these things. What are some of the things, even us, some when the first time we hear stuff like what's happening right now, or when there was a tsunami, or when certain things happen, when there's a major earthquake, when there's an earthquake in a place that's not coming, most of the time, what is people's first thought? What do they think
of first?
It's
the end of the world.
Yes.
It's the end of the world.
Yes. And so he's letting them know. He said, so let me tell you this first. Before I tell you anything else, make sure no man deceives you, because so when you hear of war and rumors of war, see that ye be not troubled. So when you see things that don't make sense, things that may scare you, I want you to know that you're not to be troubled. Why? Because all these things must come to pass, but then he says something important. But the end is not yet. The sign of my coming is really not yet. He says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes and diverse places. But what does he say in verse 8? What are these? What are these things?
It says, all these are the beginning of sorrows.
Yes. So these things that happen, when these things happen, these are just the beginning of sorrows. Because I want you to see what's really the sign of his coming. If you really listen to what he said, there's something he said that's very important that a lot of people miss. That's gonna point to the end of time. People get caught up on the signs of they get caught up on the beginning of sorrows. He said these things are the beginning of sorrows. This ain't the end of time. He said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Ooh, and we ain't living in that time. And then what happened? Verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Why? Because they're going to be feasting on the things that bring you fear. They're going to be feasting on the things that you can feel, you can sense. Earthquakes. Because these are things that are beyond our control. So if an earthquake, we really don't know when it's going to happen. Just like when the ground opens up because of something man did that they didn't do, if the structural foundation is not as strong as it should be and people are driving and the ground opens up, an expressway opens up, once that ground opens up, it's like it's beyond your control. Ain't nothing you can do. Fear grips your heart because in your natural mind or in your natural abilities, you can't do anything to preserve or save yourself. So
yes.
Letting us know that moments like this turn us into a prey if we're not careful. If we don't know the word, when earthquakes happen in diverse places, when COVID-19 comes, when famines happen, pestilence, when these things are happening, we become prey to false prophets and false Christs. And we become subject to deception. And because iniquity abounds so, because sin is abounding so much, the love of many shall wax cold. So this is where we are right now in the crux of a lot of what's happening right now. He says, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. See, moments like this, a lot of people can't endure. We quit at the onset. We become afraid. And our endurance is not even in our obedience to adhere to man's law. Our endurance is our fear of what's coming. We're afraid to be around people. We're afraid to go out. When fear grips the heart of the believer and we try to hide it behind, well, this is the law of the land. No, you're scared. You're not enduring. You don't want nobody to touch you. No, don't touch my hand. Not that you are not going to move in wisdom. But when fear is so much on you, when you operate as the unbeliever, when your language is no more different from them, you're not enduring. We're not enduring if our language and our response sounds just like everybody else's. The Bible says, he that endured until the end, the same shall be saved. But this is the scripture I wanted to get us to. Because they asked him a question, but they missed the answer. Verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Oh, God have mercy. He gave them the answer. They just missed it. Ooh, Jesus. You want to know when the end is coming? When the gospel is preached into all the world? Oh, God. Woo! The end cannot come until the gospel is preached. So what are moments like this for? For you to preach. Why am I allowing this? Why am I allowing the plague? Why am I allowing COVID-19? Because I need the believers to preach.
Wow. Amen.
The only way we're going to get to our next beginning is we've got to preach our own end.
Wow. Man.
We can't get to eternal life until we preach our own end. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Woo! So again, this is not a woe of God. This is what God has allowed for the purpose of releasing the preachers. And I'm not talking about titles. The word has to go forth, and those who have an ear to hear will hear the voice of God, and they will release the sound. For how shall they hear except there be a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?
Amen.
So nothing is going to happen until the preacher in us is released.
Wow.
And we obey what God says.
Yes.
So when we look at moments like this, the reason why we're not fearful is because he's already given us consolation. So if anything happens to us, we can't stop it. Because he says, when you hear this stuff, I need you to not be troubled. We can't even be troubled because our lives is in the hand of God.
Amen.
Our lives are not controlled by COVID-19.
Amen.
We can do everything they tell us to do. And if it's the will of the Lord, we'll be gone in a moment.
Yes.
And not to take away from what happened to Kobe Bryant, but that is a witness above witnesses.
Yeah.
Moment in an instant, in a blink of an eye. So we can't get caught up in these things that are the beginning of sorrows. These are sorrows, see, because sorrows are a sign of travail. See, it's the reason the sorrows come, they are a sign that there is something being birthed, which is the word of God out of those of us that he is releasing. These sorrows are happening because it's a travail for those of us who have to go out and minister the word of the Lord. Our problem is we are allowing the world to dictate to us what we do in this season. And that's why we're in such a mess. Because we're not obeying the scripture. The world is dictating. And everything we do, the way we respond, is based upon what they say. So this is a scripture I want you as believers to commit to your spirit. Read, let it get in your heart. Let it get in your spirit that these are not the signs of the end of the time. The sign of the end of the time is when the gospel is preached into all the world. These are the beginning of sorrows. These are the moments where false prophets manipulate people in. These are the moments to weed out or to show you the false prophets and the false Christ. Because they come with deception. I hear a lot of people a lot of times say when things like this are happening, they're waiting for the prophet to say something. The Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I think that's in the book of Revelation, maybe in the book of 1 John. I don't know where that is. If somebody's on there to look it up for me so we can get that scripture out. Can you look up, try to find out where the scripture that says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Yes, ma'am.
So look that up for me and tell us what that is. And that's important to note because we want people a lot of times, and a lot of prophecy we receive doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. It's so often so strange. And so we want prophets to open up their mouths when things like this are happening. But if it's not in line with the testimony of Jesus, it's not flowing in the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy should be echoing and pointing to Jesus' birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection, and his return. Spirit of prophecy should be bringing us into alignment so that we can come into agreement with what Jesus has said, what he represented, what he did, what he said, and his testament that was left in the earth. His testament. His will and testament, which is the word, it is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy should bounce off of the word. Every prophetic word you hear, every prophetic word you receive should be in line with the word. Did you find that scripture, Isis?
I need you to repeat the last part. The testimony of Jesus is what?
The spirit of prophecy.
Okay.
I think it may be in 1 John chapter 4 or something. I can't remember. So when you understand that, And you understand that moments like that, as mentioned in Matthew chapter 24, these are moments that false prophets and false Christ feed off of. And what you don't want to miss as you study the scripture, because you got to let it get in your heart and in your mind, that there are really going to be people who imitate Christ. There are going to be individuals who are going to imitate Christ. That's bigger than a false prophet. Which means, and I'm not sure if it's in this verse of scripture. Let me look back and see if this is where it says. Yeah, it's in this verse. So, which means this is it. Verse 23 of Matthew 24. Let's start at verse 22. Somebody read verse 22 for me. I don't think I got but two people on here, right? Online, because everybody, I mean, on the phone, everybody else I think is online. Revelations 19 and 10. Isis, read it for us.
Okay. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have a testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy."
Wait a minute. Who did he say he was? Who did he say he was?
I am the fellow servant. He said, "I am the fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus."
Don't read past that. Say that one more time.
He said, "I am thy fellow servant and of thy brother, thy brethren."
One more time. Don't read past that. I need you to hear that. "I am thy fellow servant and of what?"
"Of thy brethren."
Yes. Now, who is he worshiping? Somebody's worshiping somebody, and this person is telling them, "Don't do that, because I'm just a servant, and I'm your brother." But what this person sees is an angel. I'll let that marinate because I can see y'all weren't ready for that one. So, y'all weren't ready for that one. He says, "See, don't do this. I'm a fellow servant and I'm of your brethren. I'm just like you."
So it was the angel.
Yes, but I'm just like you.
Wow.
When angels came in the Bible, did they have wings?
No, not all the time.
Tell me when they had some. When somebody had an angelic visitation and they brought a word from the Lord, tell me when they had wings.
I'm not sure, Pastor. I don't think they had wings. I'm not sure. No, I don't.
When Isaiah saw, he looked up in the heavens and he saw the seraphims and cherubim. Not in the earth. Not in the earth.
So in heaven.
In heaven they had it. But in the earth, because earth, who has dominion in the earth?
Man.
Yeah. And I don't know where that scripture is, but I'm going to read this because let me find this one for y'all because I need y'all to read this one yourself. This is sidebar. This is a blessing for y'all. This is sidebar. I want you to keep this in your arsenal. Now, we got pictures of what the devil looked like, right?
Yes.
And those pictures, everything about the devil, he looks like what?
He most of the time he red and got horns in his head.
Yep. And then the Bible says that he was a cherubim, right? He was beautiful when he was in the heavens.
Yes.
When he was in the heavens,
yes,
he was
right.
Beautiful. Right? Now read Isaiah 14.
Yes.
Somebody read Isaiah 14, 15 through 16. This is a sidebar, but read it for me.
Repeat the scripture again.
Isaiah chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. Well, no, let's start at verse 12 through 16.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation?
So hold on
one
second.
Has...
Hold on, Deacon. Who are we talking about? Who is this that was sent down?
Talking about Lucifer, the devil.
Okay, so he been sent down from heaven. So keep going. Next verse, you said.
For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble?
Hold up. Is this
that
the
made,
who? Hold up. Back up. Is this the who?
Is this the man that made the earth to tremble?
One more time. Is this the who?
Man. That made the
about?
Earth to tremble. They talking about the devil.
And he asked, is this, and the scripture asked, is this a
man
who made the earth to tremble?
Wow.
So
that don't look
we,
like the red man with the picture.
So you can get rid of that. They can forget all about them horns and tails and pitchforks. Is not this the man who made the earth to tremble, who made kingdoms tremble? Son of the morning, you were cast down. Everything you had up here, is you lost that. You got cast down into the earth, the form of a man. So when you consider what Jesus is saying in Matthew 24, the reason why we have to make sure as believers, the reasons why we have to make sure as believers is that we understand spirits. And when we understand, that's why the Bible tells us, be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. And when we consider what Jesus is saying in Matthew 24 about false Christ, we understand anyone that wants to take on that spirit of a false Christ is already operating in a Lucifer-type spirit. That spirit that said, I will exalt my throne like the Most High, which is that Antichrist spirit.
Amen.
So that Antichrist takes advantage of moments like this. And so Jesus made it clear for his students to know when things like this happen, do not be troubled, because these are just the beginning of sorrows, but the end is not yet.
Yes.
You have to know as a believer what the scripture says so that your hearts won't fail you for fear. So that you don't
Amen.
Respond like the world. So that you can look at COVID-19, tsunami, all of these other things that have happened. You can look at these and say what Jesus says, these are the beginning of sorrows. I got to make sure in this moment that I'm not deceived.
Yes.
I got to make sure when I hear them say, run this way, lo, he's over there. Because we were at verse 22, except there then, if any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, and this is back at Matthew 24 and 23.
Yes.
Then if any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, so he said, listen now, I'm telling you before it happens. Listen to me. I'm telling you what's going to happen. So when it does happen, you ain't shaking. You ain't scared. Because you know this ain't the end of the world. This is the beginning of sorrow. Wherefore,
wow.
If they say
yes.
unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. He said, for as the light come out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, you ain't going to be able to deny my calling. I ain't got to do it in secret. Because when I'm coming, I'm coming like a thief in the night. I'm coming quickly, and all of earth shall know it. So
yes,
you ain't going to have to run over there and see me. God is too big to be hid in a little village over there. You
yes.
don't have to run over there to find it. When he comes this time, they should have did that when he was walking the earth. When he comes this time, he's not coming to save you, because that moment is past.
Wow.
He's coming to select what he has redeemed.
Yes.
When Jesus comes back, the time of receiving him or confessing and saying, at that day, every knee going to bow and every tongue going to confess. Everything going to agree. That's all they're going to be able to do in that day. Because the day of salvation is now. That is why we must preach the gospel. That is why we must go.
Yes.
Our obedience is everything. Our discerning of times is everything. If we're not discerning, that's why I am compelled to make sure we don't shut down. Because I know that people are fainting. So I got to make
yes.
sure that there's an answer. And also equip you.
Yes.
So that the fear, the reservations, the questions, the doubts are removed. I've got to impart into the believer that God has put under my influence. So I have to put something in you so that you can go out and give it to them. Because we must obey. We must be sensitive to the moment. There is an urgency. This is the hour of urgency. Our gospel needs to be the pandemic, not this
yes.
COVID-19. What should be an epidemic, a pandemic, all epidemics is the gospel of Jesus Christ right now, because the believer should be sensing the urgency. The believer should be sensing that the time is now to release a word.
Yes.
So this is why we must put our feet on the spirit of fear. We're not talking about walking in wisdom, and we got to obey the laws of the land. The more stricter they get, we have to. But if this is not fulfillment of scripture, we've heard prophecies from times of old that it's going to come a time when you ain't going to be able to congregate. We've been hearing that.
Yes. Yeah.
If that is not confirmation, this is just a little snippet, because we're going to be able to come back together. And if some people can't even handle this, some people stay away from this about 2 months, their salvation is already ripped, because there's no discipline. Moments like this, like moments like this, like right now, half of them don't call in. They ain't listening in. They're not trying to eat the word. This don't mean nothing to them. So when the time does come, this is like a rehearsal. And if this ain't nothing to you right now, when the day comes and this really becomes it, and you don't even have internet to connect, you don't have any way to fellowship, if you ain't got nothing, the weight of the trial, the vicissitudes of life, and we are witnesses, because there have been trials, times that you've been sick, you ain't even been able to pray. Times you've been going through trials that's so heavy, you've not been able to pray. Oh, God have mercy. It is all a witness of how our spirit man can get when we deal with the vicissitudes of life and we don't have enough weight on the inside of us.
Wow. Yes.
So if we can't handle this moment, and if we're not disciplined enough to know I need to eat, stuff it in me, if we're not making ourselves, if it's not oppressing our spirit, to make sure we hear what thus saith the Lord, to make sure we're digesting truth, digesting, being like the disciples. As I started off earlier, the Bible says Jesus sat at the Mount of Olives and the disciples came asking him. The students came looking for the teacher. They came with some questions in it. There was a hunger. We need you before you leave us. Give us what we need to survive. Students have to know that the teacher has within them what they need to survive. And you have to eat it in the time that it's being released, because there comes a time when that's all you got to feast off of. After Jesus left, that's all the apostles had to eat. That was their meal. Thank God they were positioned to receive.
Yes.
And they ate so much that they left enough for us to get food.
Wow. Yes.
We're eating what they regurgitated. They were able to give something out because they sat and they received. And so as disciples, you have to position yourself to be equipped. You don't have to try to act like you know what Jesus knows. Part of our problem right now is we want to be equal with the teacher. And so we push out information we need to be receiving. Therefore, we're not learning. We're competing. And we're missing the lesson, and it's proven when the test comes, because the answer to your test came in that setting, but you were trying to outteach the teacher or outthink the teacher, and you didn't sit down to eat. We have to always know what our position is. There become moments when the students are the teachers, like it happened with the apostles. But in the moments with Jesus, they were always the student. They were never his teacher. But there were moments when they were teachers. And it's understanding my position so I can eat, so I can go and feed. But if I get like, see, when Peter tried to get equal with Jesus, that's when it got crazy. When Jesus said he had to suffer, he had to die, and Peter said, no, Lord. See, now you're trying to teach the teacher. This is not your role, Peter. Mm. Peter, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Because now you're shifting Peter out of position. Peter has to eat what Jesus has so he can be ready on the day of Pentecost. If you don't get this, Peter, when Pentecost comes and all these people are going to be around who you have influence with, you're not going to have anything because you were too busy competing or you were too busy trying to stop me when you should have been a student.
Yeah.
Eat so you can feed. And so this is where we are right now. This is the urgency of the gospel. This is the time. The believer has to hear the voice of God in this hour. You have to hear the ones that God is speaking out of who are feeding you the right things. And I am telling you, this is the urgency of the moment. The urgency of this hour is to feed the believers so that they can feed the ones they need to bring in.
Yes.
We need to be gathering the sheep. We need to be bringing in the harvest. You're being equipped. So take the time to hear. These things are not the sign of the end of the time. These things are the beginning of sorrow. So I want nobody else to tell me again, ooh, the world coming to an end, because it's no, baby, this is the beginning of sorrows.
Mm.
The Bible says when these things happen, the end is not yet. Let me show you in Matthew chapter 24 what the Bible says about these things. It says these are the beginning of sorrows. If you go down further enough, he'll tell you in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The sign of the end of the time is the preaching of the gospel unto all of the world. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Read with understanding. Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, glory to God. That is why the Bible says, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What? For the work of ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. Ooh, God, for the perfecting of the saints until we all come into the knowledge of the truth. Hear the voices that's going to perfect you, edify you, so you can do the work. Ooh, God, have mercy.
Yes, Lord.
I've established the voices. I've established them. He gave to some, not to all. Everybody doesn't have it. He gave it to some. But they help the body so that they can do the work. So when we understand the apostolic order, the order of God, so that we can be equipped, so we can go out and change the world.
Yes.
The greatness is in the world changers. Those who have received and now they can go out and give. And then he opens up moments and doors and opportunities and platforms. You're in meetings and moments like this when people are scared and they don't know what to do. And even though they hear your worship music all the time and they see you in their prayer and they don't want to bother you, but moments like this, they want to pull you to the side. He gave you an audience.
Mm-hmm.
Moments like this, they run and say, hey, brother, pray for me. Oh, sure, why don't we pray right now? I can pray for you right now. Is it okay? And in that moment of praying, he might share one small scripture. It doesn't have to be a lot. It can be something that says, do you know Jesus came for the sole purpose of saving your soul? Do you know that's why he came? Just for you? Don't do yourself a disservice by rejecting the opportunity to say yes to his offer. What is it going to hurt for you to say yes to Jesus' offer? I can show you right here in Romans 10, where it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart Oh, God. The Lord Jesus. If you confess, just confess it, agree that he is Lord, you'll be saved.
Yes,
now, you pray for me as I pray for you. Because now you're in the household of faith. You have confessed him as Lord. Now you just go find your church and you go get baptized. Let the gospel preach. The gospel is the birth, life, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. You don't have to have Bible study, even though you can. But give them the gospel and a snippet.
Amen.
And keep going. If opportunity opens up again to study more, then do that. But there is an urgency that the gospel of the kingdom be preached in all the world. This is how we get to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, we bless the Lord because we are after 9 o'clock. I want to encourage those of you that are listening online. And I want Kim, I want you to send out a text to make sure people sow. We still need to be able to sustain our house even though we're not in it. We need to, they still going to want their rent. And Georgia Power.
Amen.
And AT&T still going to want the phone bill. All of those things still going to have to be paid. They're not going to let us not pay.
Amen.
So we want you to make sure, amen, that you are sowing on tonight. Send in your seed.
Amen.
Bless the house of God. And remember Revelations 19 and 10 was that scripture that speaks of the spirit of the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That is so important for us. We want to be aligned in prophecy. We want to be in divine alignment. We don't want to try to prophesy like everybody else. They're trying to sound eloquent and deep, but they're false prophets. They're not prophesying truth.
Yes, Lord.
Stay in alignment. Stay in truth. Operate. Operate by truth. I thank God for you. I thank God that you took the time to jump on this line so that you can grow and know that that's our focus, especially now as we're getting ready to shift our locations. We're going to have more intense Bible studies like this. We're going to get back into Bible bold because we want to make sure that you have enough in you to take it out and to continue to build the kingdom and be a people. So as we move to our new location, because I think the next in-house Bible study we have will be over there, because we won't do in-house Bible study again until the first Thursday in April. And it will be in our new location. And we'll be there working and worshiping. It is more than likely that next week Bible study will be a work Bible study. We're going to meet at our new location, and we're going to go over there and do some work. Hopefully, I think they should be done with everything that they're doing. I rode over there a little bit later this evening. I didn't know how to turn off the light. They didn't leave. They hadn't turned them off. See, I'm like, see, they already messing up, leaving lights on. We ain't playing it. But we got to find out where the lights are at, because we got much space over there. We ain't leaving lights on over there at all. So,
amen.
So we're going to find out how to work those lights. But nevertheless, next Thursday will likely be a work day, and we're going to try to get there as early as you can. I'm going to get there early during the day because I don't have to work next Thursday. So I'll probably get there like midday. And as many people that can come as early as they can, to come over, they can. And we'll be over there working. And Felicia, if you can order us probably online those plugins, because we're going to need them. Ooh, that is that a mold smell, Deacon Jimmy?
I'm not quite sure, Pastor. I think because of the water that I'm hearing is on the floor, we got to get a wet vac or something. Or put something in there, maybe a fan or something to dry that stuff up. But we need to look at it and see if we need to spray down some mold stuff or some kind of Clorox on to kind of get that cleared up.
Okay. I know it looks like they were working. They had somebody, I think they had a plumber in there today. because when I went over there today, they had pulled this whole piece out where the leak was coming from. So it looks like they have worked on that, which is probably the reason of the ceiling. But we shall see. Whatever it is, he is committed to make sure everything is fixed before we get in there. And I thank him for that.
Okay, that's good.
Yes. Yes, yes. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and end this for tonight. Thank you again for joining us. God bless you. I'm going to do a quick prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you for this time, God, for allowing us to come together on this line. We pray, God, that you would water every seed that was sown, that the people, God, who have received the word, Father, that they will be doers and that we would go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, that we will see souls come into the kingdom. Father, I thank you that we are witnesses in this hour, and that we will not be afraid to share the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the spirit of prophecy, which will empower us to prophesy, which will empower us, God, to go forward in the spirit of accuracy. I pray, let that accurate anointing be upon your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, tomorrow night we're doing our prayer online. I think we're going to start at around 7:30, this same time. 7:30 tomorrow. Hopefully that first number will be working better. That first conference call number that everybody was able to dial in better. Again, I seen on that service number that there was a lot of things happening on that line, but I don't think a lot of people do things on Friday night. So we may be safer to use that conference call number tomorrow. A lot of people probably having Bible study and doing a whole lot of activity in the airwaves tonight. But tomorrow, I think we'll be okay. God bless you. This concludes our time of Bible study. Go in peace.
Amen.
Amen.